Black heart, gold pants, black heart, gold pants, black heart, gold pants.
Basketball.
Black heart, gold pants, basketball podcast. Black heart, gold pants, basketball. Black heart, gold pants, basketball podcast. We're talking basketball on the podcast. That's basketball podcast with Mark Hart and Gold Pants to talk about the basketball team. We're not that good at basketball. Black Heart Gold
Pants. Episode 21 of Black Heart Gold Podcast, Hawkeye State, joined by Oops Pow Surprise. Oops, our little baby's old enough to drink.
Damn it, you stole my joke.
I knew I would.
Let's get this baby drunk already then.
Although, it's only been 21 weeks, so it's only old enough to drink in, like, Thailand.
Or dog years or
something. Myanmar, the former Burma, and possibly the Gadsden Purchase. Ah, there it is. All right, we're joined to talk about Hawkeye basketball with the one, the only Storm and Spank, Justin Van Leer of HawkeyeNation.com. His own blog, stormandspank.com. He posts videos that have a certain Kaiser Ramsey quality, only they're informative. Generally follows Iowa basketball far, far more closely than we do. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I probably follow more than people should, actually. But that's all right.
That's all right. We all have our hobbies that hurt us in ways that we probably shouldn't discuss on the air. Iowa comes up.
Got weird and creepy and gross real quick there.
Usually it takes us 3 or 4 minutes to get that creepy.
I know, right?
Yeah.
4 beers, depending on what you're talking about. But
there we go. Iowa on championship Sunday in a game that few people outside the state of Iowa and Bloomington, Indiana watched. Defeated the Indiana Hoosiers for their first road victory in basketball since the Nixon administration. Kind of an odd game, a high number of turnovers, not exactly the most efficient play by Iowa, but they were monsters on the boards against a relatively athletic, if young, Indiana team, and were able to translate a gargantuan number of offensive rebounds into a win. It's Iowa's third win in 4 games, which, considering where they were prior to those 4 games, is impressive. Justin, in your opinion, as a frequent watcher and commenter on this team, what's been the big turnaround?
I think it's a healthy Aaron Fuller right there. I mean, he's been able to put 35, 36 minutes a game in, and the guy just beats the boards down. And, you know, if you notice, he can finish at the rim with both hands, and that's a really, really good asset to have for a guy his size. You know, he does not overly, you know, tall, but he's got the bigger body that he's put on over the summer, and that really helps. I think that's where we're seeing, and we're also seeing people like Kelly Payne and Eric May kind of learning the system a little bit better and finally getting this whole system down.
Now, I know that you were somewhat critical of the use of John Lickwider, and I think rightfully so. As in, please God, put him on the bench.
You know, it's one of those things, you know. I understand why he's in there. You know, you have to give Kelly Payne a blow and stuff, but at the same time, you never.
This is really devolving fast tonight.
Yeah, sorry. You know, you never really want to see Payne and Gatons on the bench at the same time. That's a recipe for disaster. So that's kind of one of the things I have an issue with. You know, I understand, you know, you don't have a backup point guard that can take the ball up, but man, at this point in time, yeah, being critical about John Lickwider, he's the kind of guy that, you know, on any other team, he's probably not going to see minutes, but I understand why he's in there. You know, you have to have that sort of bench time for Kelly, but it's kind of brutal right now to watch with him in there. So, I mean, he tries hard, high energy guy, you know, he knows the system, obviously, because it's dad's system, but he plays hard, and he plays pretty deep and decent defense for his athletic gifts and all. But I don't know. I just get scared, and I think when you get against really good point guards in the Big Ten, we can be in trouble. So,
if I could voice a little dissent here, I'm not so sure that his grasp of the Licklider system is that good. that he seems like the least Licklider-y player on the entire team. That the things that he does that are actually assets or that have endeared us to him are things like behind the back passes and stuff like that. And I appreciate that. Oh, and also really ill-timed three-pointers. Like, it's all stuff that his dad would hate. At the same time, I don't see how this team can operate without Licklider getting 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever anyway.
Well, that's kind of the point. You don't think you're going to see Bowinkle come and bring the ball up the court, you know?
Same
chance of him shooting a two-pointer than we have him bringing the ball up the court, you know? So, you know, I'd prefer seeing John bring the ball than Devin. But
yeah, I saw there was a clip I caught just very briefly of the Indiana game where Bowinkle was trying to dribble, and it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. The man literally really only has one skill. There's nothing else he can really do on this team. He can't dribble. He doesn't really play that much defense. He's only there to shoot three-pointers.
He can beat Big Ten Al and analysts in horse, though, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, he can literally dunk a ball. So he's like Lisa Leslie.
Which, you didn't see that thing. They had a trampoline on the court below that.
So, Justin, what's your take on the rotation down low? Clearly, Fuller deserves every minute he gets. But how do you feel about the split of time between Cole Kugel and Andrew the walking foul Brommer?
I said earlier in the year that I think Brommer has probably the most fouls per minute of anybody I've ever seen, and that includes Glenn Worley. But I actually like the rotation right now. I think you know, Cole needs to get 25, 30 minutes, and obviously you're not taking anything away from Fuller. He needs his 36, 35 because he's a huge asset for us. But Kugel showed us last game that, man, if he plays hard, you know, he only played like 10 minutes last game. He ended up putting up a double-digit points and like 5 boards or something like that and hit those two big three-pointers, you know. So I think the more he gets time on the court, the better he is as well. Then again, you know, we have to take the advice from the people over in Sioux City sometimes too. So
right, and as we know that, since we're terrible, we should just play the Desert Fox 40 minutes a game.
You mean the Desert Fox?
The Desert Fox.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad about this because he seems like a nice kid, but I keep calling him Fat Tyrannosaurus Rex, and that's just just mean.
It is.
I really hope he doesn't listen to this show.
I don't think he does. Don't worry about that.
I think you're probably safe.
Yeah.
Now.
But you know what, the thing with him, though, I mean, I call him Sam Perkins. You remember about Sam from the little...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had like a 2-inch vertical, but he could shoot that rock like nobody else's size. I just love it, man. I just love that shot. Yeah, the set shot for like a 6'10" guy.
And that's exactly what it is. He doesn't even attempt to jump.
No.
It's that shot.
But you know,
his vertical is negative.
Negative. Yeah. He did have some good boards the last game, you know. That was pretty fun to watch. You know, and he threw that charge, too. So, I mean, he's coming around, but... he's a fresh.
Realistically, how much change in fitness, and I hope it's positive change, of course, but where do you expect to see Kugel in terms of fitness and body shape and all that by the time he's a senior? Do you think he's always going to look like, you know, Time Machine John Daly, or do you think that he's hulked out by the end of his career, or what?
You know, that's a pretty good question. You know, with Rusty in here, the strength and conditioning coach, you know, he's done a pretty good job. You look at Cole.
Yeah.
When Cole came in, man, he was a little pudgy. I mean, not pudgy Kugel sense, but pudgy. And he's ripped now, dude. Have you seen him? I mean, he's absolutely freaking ripped right now. So, I mean, if Cole can do it, I'm sure, you know, Kugel's got a little further to go. But, I mean, if he can get down to that 250 range and start putting some muscle on, I think he can do it for sure, yeah. But, you know, some people just can't. You know, he might end up being a Bryant Reeves for us. Who knows? But the potential's there. It is, absolutely.
The basketball Casey McMillan.
can we call him the Big County?
The Big County. I like it. Now, Anthony Tucker's back practicing with this team. Justin, have you heard anything about when he might actually return to the rotation and return to playing, or is that out of the question for this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to come back this week. Licklider kind of put it out today in his conference that You know, he has no set timetable to bring him up, and there's no expectations as far as even this year he'll play. But, you know, when it happened back, you know, last month, people had asked me, what do you think, how he's going to be? I said, well, I think, you know, from my completely unexperienced point of view, I think it's probably going to be sometime the end of January he gets reinstated on the team, and then I think mid-February he'd see some time on the court. That's where my, you know, standpoint's been since it happened, so I'm going to stick with it, I guess.
Now, if he gets on there, is that pretty much the death knell for little John?
I would think so, and I would hope so. I mean, yeah, that's, yeah.
That's what we're hoping for, at least.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, personally.
Last year, and his situation a little bit different last year because he had the mono plus the suspension plus the grades issues, but a couple other guys who had missed time early on took a long time to get back with Licklider. Is there a conditioning issue, you think, with Tucker that could be could lead it to be a little bit longer before we actually see him?
I think it's going to be mental conditioning more than anything. I don't think, physical at this time, at this age, you know, these guys, 20 years old, 19 years old, they shouldn't have any problem getting back any conditioning. We're not talking about football conditioning here. It's basketball. It's pretty much just up and down the court. So, and you're going to get, you know, your timeouts. You're going to get your 4-minute TV timeout. So it won't be an issue in that regard. I think he just has to shut his mouth and just perform. So.
Yeah.
Now
I agree.
Thanks. Thank you for that insight. All right, you've been the eternal optimist, Stormer. You've also saved poor Steve Batterson from that that live chat the other day, where he was being asked questions by a dog.
Yeah.
What was the metaphor you used, or the comparison for Batterson?
I said poor Batterson was like a substitute teacher, where like. He was trying to make a point and try to, like, teach things. Everybody around him was just cracking wise, and he was like, okay, that's funny, guys, but let's try to get back on point here.
Yeah, he asked the class of which page they're on, and someone yells out 69 in the class.
I'm sure that's funny. Come on.
All right. No, that's funny, guys, but it's time to get back on point. So as the eternal optimist, Justin, how many more games can we realistically see Iowa win?
Realistically, how many do I want them to win? No, I think honestly, I think Iowa's got two more wins in them. I think they can do that. That's not too big of a homer pick, especially for me. I mean, I think they can beat Indiana again when they come here into Carver. And I think, you know, Northwestern, yeah, they're a better team, but I think at home, even though they kill us every freaking year, I think we have a chance against those guys. I just like the way Licklider system matches up with them. But and Michigan at home too. You see Michigan go out and they can, you know, like tonight they're hanging out. They're hanging with Michigan State, even though it's at home. But they have problems with some team. You know, they lost lost Indiana already this year. So I mean,
so if they win two, does Licklider keep his job?
Absolutely, I think he keeps his job if they don't win another game the rest of the year. Yeah, 2-16. Well, that'll get him there. That he'll stick around. It's one of those things. Right now, I think Barta and I think. You know, he sees the product out there as far as what they're doing, how they're progressing. And you've seen the last four games what they've done. If you continue to see something like that out there, even though the scoreboard's askew, you know, that's really what Barta wants to see, and I think that's what Licklider wants to see as well. I mean, not what the fans want to see, obviously, but that's what will happen, I think. So he'll get to at least to the end of last year. You'll know in the middle of next year if Licklider will be around the next couple of years after that. So
I think you're probably right. If he does decide to come back, or if he is brought back, actually a relatively decent recruiting class for Iowa coming in this year. 4 3-star guys, according to the Scout and Rivals, including Roy Marble Jr., which is fun just because it's Roy Marble Jr. do you think that there could be significant improvement next year based on the fact that those four guys are coming in along with another year of tutelage for the youngsters on this team?
Yeah, I think that's key. The last part we just said there, you know, the system apparently is like rocket science to get down. So you have to be in the system 17 years before you understand what happens with it. But, I mean, one more year for these guys. You've already noticed improvement in the freshmen now and the sophomores now. So the whole system is predicated on having seniors and juniors to teach the younger guys how to work. And that's going to help out coming down the road. If, you know, knock on wood, nobody leaves the program this year. Coming back next year, you get four guys coming in that are – by all means, you know, all accounts are a top 30 team or top 30 recruiting class in the nation. So, yeah, I think we can see significant improvement. I think somebody like Cody Larson has a great chance of actually starting for this team. He'd have to take a spot from either Fuller or Cole, but he has the game to start at the Big Ten level as a freshman. So that's it should be fun to see. He's the kind of guy that, you know, he's never aggressive at the high school level or in the AAU circuit, but he finishes with both hands around the basket. He's got really good skill set for his height. So he can dribble. He can, if he has to bring the ball up, he can. He brings the ball up for his team every once in a while as well. So it's pretty exciting. I think you know, a lot of people want to downplay the recruiting class because, you know, not all of the recruits are signed yet from all different classes, and it's Iowa, so Iowa can't recruit. But I think, you know, in all honesty, this class is good. It will be a foundation for this program. And like I said before, if it's not this class is not the building blocks for Licklider, he will be gone. I mean, this is the class that will seal his fate. So
yeah, I agree. And it what stinks is that this is clearly, and the struggles that Iowa's been having are experience-based. I don't think there's any debate about that. And, you know, you just look at Wisconsin, you know, a team that never loses kids to transfer and always has, you know, three or four seniors out there in the rotation and all their success. You know, to look ahead to next year's recruiting class, you know, some people might look at that like, oh, they have a freshman problem that they're going to fix with more freshmen. Hey, that's going to work out great. I think you're right. I think that between this class of freshmen and the next year, that's going to have to be what Licklider builds his program around it and starts to build success around. But, you know, is he still going to be, or is he still going to have that political goodwill from BARTA by the time Cody Larson's a junior? And I'm still not convinced about that quite yet.
No, that won't happen. Not if the results aren't there. I mean, he's back to year one in his third year, and that's, you know,
yeah.
There's been some extenuating circumstances. We understand that with the departures and stuff, but, you know, it would have been better for Licklider to have everybody leave in 1 year, start over again in year one, and then go up from it. But we had the problem with Iowa is they had two or three guys leave every single season, and that's really completed the experience. So, I mean, when you're the 10th or 11th youngest team in the nation out of 300 and whatever teams, it's an uphill battle for you regardless of the talent you have. So
sure.
And it's not like we're bringing in five John Wolves for John, you know, that's not what's happening, so.
That would be illegal. we're using him at every position at once.
And not just the violation of NCAA rules, but I think federal cloning law.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus, you know, God only knows which one's taking the ACT for the other ones.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. John Calipari jokes are always fun. So Stormy, clearly there's a correlation between the winning and the people in the seats at Carver. Do you think that there next year, what would be the minimum record that would save Licklider's job? And if nobody shows up for these games, is there anything that's going to be able to save him?
That's a really good question. I think, you know, with the Iowa fan base and with most fan bases, you're right. Winning brings the people in. It doesn't matter if you're selling $1 hot dogs or giving away free puppies. It's not going to matter because you have to have a product out that the people want to watch. And not only that, it's a good product, but it's winning. So I don't know, man. That's a great question. I think next year, a minimum record, I think he has to be 500. I think overall, not in the Big Ten necessarily, but overall, he's going to have to get 15, 16, 17 wins to save his job next year. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be selling out crowds next year either. I think you're going to see somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 average again. And I just don't see it. Not until Iowa is somewhere, you know, knocking off the Michigan States, beating the Ohio States, beating the Wisconsins. Are you going to have somebody that's going to want to come to a game at 8 o'clock at night on a Tuesday night? When I see
I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, the Big Ten Network has really hurt him in that way. I mean, clearly the Big Ten Network is great for the conference at large and makes them tons of money, but the fact that they've had to move start times around so much to make sure that every game gets on television, I think has really hurt them because they've had terrible start times ever since he's been here just because of the fact they haven't been an upper echelon team.
And to Licklider's credit, too, he hasn't used that as an excuse very much. And in the same regards to the injuries he's had or the departures, he hasn't, you know, this year with Fuller being hurt all year, he hasn't brought that up saying, you know, we're not winning ball games because one of my best players is hurt. You know, to his credit, he hasn't been a downer in that regard. So that's been nice to see, but
Ohio State night, they're doing basically meet Adrian Claiborne And hope you're not eaten by Adrian Claiborne.
I was going to say, what's the body count on that one?
Yeah. I love Dr. Mint's post where he said that they were going to do Adrian Claiborne fights a bear. Actually, that might have been
but yeah, that guys, sounds like loss.
That
yeah.
sounds like loss now that I say it out loud. I mean, that sounds like they do. But they're doing half-price concessions, dollar hot dog nights. What is the ultimate Iowa fan promo going to finally fill up Carver Hawkeye?
bring back the bouncing dogs, man. Everybody likes those dogs.
Yeah. On you.
The fly ball. Everybody loves fly ball, don't they?
I think you're right.
Fantastic. The college
advertise that.
God, my God. Everybody gets up for that. The blue hairs get up. The knitting ladies get up. It's crazy. It's static inside Carver when that happens.
Hey, has there been any talk that you've heard of moving the student section?
Haven't heard a thing, no.
Damn it.
But
that's the dumbest thing they do. It is the single dumbest thing the athletic department does.
Yeah. They're the most boisterous fans. Let's give them obstructed view seats. The only ones in the entire arena.
Yeah.
it's horrible.
And I know the guys from the media don't want to hear this here, but they give the media the best seats as well. And then on camera, it looks like empty seats on TV as well. So that's kind of something.
Yeah.
I'm not a proponent of putting them in Indiana, seats back in the nosebleeds or anything, but, maybe we can move them up a little bit and maybe put the student sections around there. That might be a solution.
Well, there was that great, I think it was Bonenkamp on Twitter who said that he was sitting in press row and like a father and son came down and just sat down and no one cared.
And they're right. Yelling and screaming like that. He completely not allowed on press row and he got two guys yelling their balls off.
Right. Yeah. Sitting there in press row, yelling for the team. Yeah, that's great. And all Permar does is just kind of stand there.
They're like, well, what are you going to do?
That's not a whole lot different than what Permar used to do when the place was actually full, though. I had a roommate who was there when we beat Kansas, and I can't remember what year that was, but he said that he became abundantly clear about 3 minutes from the end of the game that we were going to win it, and all the students kind of started slowly moving their way up front to charge the court. And there was one, 85-year-old woman from Permar who goes, boys, you boys can't come down here. And their response was, get out of the way, you're getting trampled. Get out of the way, and they rushed the court. So,
and, she's thinking, I only get $7 an hour for this shit. You guys, go for it.
I'm going to miss my canasta club.
Oh, boy.
Also, before you go.
How many more before you goes are you going to have here?
This is the last one.
Before you go.
would you care to say an unkind word about the pep band?
God, I wouldn't ever. The pep band? their song selection's fantastic. Love it.
Oh, they're so good.
The bass drum has their name on it. What else do you want from them?
It's just best in the Big Ten.
That's right. You're everywhere. All right. Well, with that, we'll let you go, Stormy. Thanks for meeting us and for talking Iowa basketball. And we'll remind everybody to catch you at Hawkeye Nation and on Storm and Spank's Hawkeye Ramblings at stormandspank.com.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Take care, bud.
Right, have a good night.
Take care.